I'm going to have us look at Psalm 16 in a couple of moments, so you may want to find that on your phone or in your Bible. But let me begin by speaking about what was being promoted as probably one of the greatest head-to-head matchups of all time. And if you are old enough, or you've been in, in North America long enough, you will recognize the names of Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali. Great boxers. Well, they were going to face each other in the ring, and this is back in 1971. And Ali, as you probably are well aware, he was a mighty boxer, an excellent boxer, used his hands very well, but he was probably even better known for his very fast mouth. Before the press, he said this. He said, "There seems to be some confusion. We're going to clear up this confusion once and for all on March the 8th. We're going to decide once and for all who is king. There's not a man alive who can whoop me. I'm too smart. I'm too pretty. I am the greatest. I am the king. I should be a postage stamp. That's the only way I could get licked." Now, Ali was always speaking with rather extreme and confident words. And although Ali was indeed a tremendously gifted boxer, one of the greatest boxers of all time, on that March the 8th, he actually lost his fight to Joe Frazier. In spite of all his boasting, he lost. Now, I do not know what kind of attitude you have as you walk or you battle your way through life. We must be so careful not to become puffed up with self-assurance and pride like Muhammad Ali. But I would like to suggest that because we are followers of Jesus, we can live with confidence and contentment. We do not need to be knocked down or defeated in life by doubt or uncertainty or discontent. Now, before we look at confidence, as seen in the life of David in Psalm 16, which we'll read in just a moment, let me remind you of what confidence is. Maybe some of you are familiar with the story about a man whose wife's cat had disappeared. The man went to the newspaper with an ad offering $500 for the return of the cat. Now, the woman at the newspaper office responded, "Isn't that too much money as a reward? You're going to get thousands of cats." "No," said the man, "the cat is very carefully described." "Are you sure?" said the woman. "Yes, I drowned the cat myself." I know you need to think that one through, don't you? Now, we're going to overlook the sense of guilty conscience or maybe the trouble this guy would get in with the SPCA, but because he had killed the cat himself, because he knew the truth about the cat, he had extreme confidence. Confidence. It is an invaluable ingredient necessary for living a full and a meaningful life. Now, as Christians, humble and dependent upon God, we can be extremely confident. Each day, when we face challenges and obstacles and disappointments or battles, we can give in to doubt. We can give in to defeat, or we can move forward, we can fight our way through, and we can carry on with life confidently with boldness. We can choose to live courageously. We can live with confidence because of our God and Savior. We can also live with contentment. Before we look at contentment as seen in the life of David in Psalm 16, let me remind you of what contentment is all about. A number of years ago, there was a couple who left the Lower Mainland, and they went for a 24-hour vacation down in Laconar. When they returned home, they discovered that absolutely everything had been stolen from their home. Someone, while they were absent, had brought a moving van to their home, and absolutely everything was taken. And it was because a moving van was being used that none of the neighbors thought that this activity was in any way unusual. Now, I'd like you to imagine that the same thing happened to you. Today, after some enjoyable fellowship in the coffee room here, you're going to go home and you discover your house is completely empty. How would you feel? Now imagine that tomorrow the van is found and it is returned to you. Everything is intact in the van. How would you then feel? Well, I suspect that this feeling that you will have tomorrow is the feeling or the experience of relief or contentment. The Bible teaches us that the feeling of contentment, the feeling of peace or joy or serenity or relief, is something that can be experienced by Christians whether that moving van is found or not. Because of our relationship with God, we can experience both confidence and contentment regardless of our circumstances. No matter where the van is or what is found, confidence and contentment are to be our daily experiences. Now let's take a look at Psalm 16, where we see that David, when he took his refuge in God, he could live each day of his life with confidence and contentment, regardless of the circumstances he found himself in. Psalm 16, "Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, 'You are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing.' As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." In verses 1 to 3, David expresses his confidence in God, and he puts his trust in God. every good thing, all his delight, his hope, his security, his contentment are found in God. He says, apart from God, he has no good thing. That means that with God, all is good. In you I take refuge. You are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Every good thing is found in God. And then in verse 3, he says, as for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. People who take refuge in God have this amazing benefit of deep delight or friendship with all the other saints who are in the land. People who take refuge in God have a special friendship with one another, with all the glorious ones, with all the other believers. This congregation has been my delight. As Christians, it is right, it is proper, it is good for us to take delight in one another, to enjoy being together on a morning like this to worship our God. Rhoda and I are going to miss you tremendously. You have been our delight over these past 12 years. Thank you for that. Contrast this now with verse 4, where it says, the sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. We delight in our God and we delight in one another. But when people do not take their refuge in the one true God, they run after false gods. Instead of joy and delight, they experience many sorrows. And David says here that he has no desire, he has no need to participate with these sad people in their activities. David finds his joy, he finds contentment with God and with fellow believers. When you take refuge in God, you experience contentment so that you do not want to, you do not have to submit to the influence or the pressure of others. When you take refuge in God and when you delight in your church family, you do not want to take part with the worldly crowd. You do not want and you do not need to do those things that you know are false. Instead, you can be bold and courageous. People who make God their refuge can confidently refuse all of the temptations and the sins that are offered to them out in the world. You can refuse to experiment with drugs. You can resist sexual advances and you can remain pure until marriage. You can refuse to use vulgar language to fit in. People who make God their refuge can refuse to listen to or to spread gossip. They can refuse to be miserly and to be selfish. They can refuse to tell lies. Christians enjoy friendship with God and with one another, and when they do this, they are able to experience confidence and contentment in this life, and they do not need to run after all those other gods or behave like so many others out in the world. People who make God their refuge refuse to behave like most of the world behaves, because they understand that God is the only true God. He is the only great God. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the giver of all good things. And he is in control. Take a look at verses 5 and 6, which illustrate to us God's control. And so David says, I'm not going to run after all these other gods. I'm not going to behave like they do and take up their names on my lips. Why? Because, Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. When David refers here to the lot and boundary lines, he is referring to what is recorded in Numbers chapter 26. In Numbers chapter 26, the clans in Israel are given parts of Canaan by the casting of lots, or by a lottery draw. Whatever land they received in the draw was theirs, and it was good, it was pleasant, it was secure, and it was eternal. David's picture is that God measures out, he surveys, he gives to you whatever you need to make life good and pleasant. We can accept that whatever God brings into our lives, or whatever he allows to come into our lives, whether it's poverty or prosperity, whether it's health or sickness, whether it's life or death, all of this is meant for our good. It is a part of God's sovereign plan for us. Our inheritance. Our inheritance now, and our inheritance in the future, which is eternal life, are all delightful. And it's because it is delightful that we are able to live with confidence and contentment. But I can just see it. You're going around in your heads here and saying, come on, isn't David just a little out of touch with 21st century reality? What about all the pain, all the suffering, all the disappointment, all the struggles that seem too common to our daily lives? There's nothing delightful in many of my experiences. Well, look at verses 7 to 10, if that's what you're thinking. Verses 7 to 10 help us to understand why David, and why you and I, can still live with confidence and contentment. So the boundary lines, he says, have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. And you're saying, well, I'm not so sure how pleasant this life is at the moment. And David says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. In verse 7, we are reminded that God counsels his children. That is, he encourages, he directs, and he helps his children in their difficulties. You are never left alone or without direction. Not when you take refuge in God, not when God is your God. You are never left alone. Do you have financial woes? God can counsel and direct you. The Bible is full of financial wisdom. Do you have marital struggles? God can counsel and direct you. There are lots of marriage tips in His Word. Do you have emotional stresses? God can counsel and calm you. You see, God is not ignorant of any situation or struggle or trial that you face. And His counsel is always available. And when you follow His counsel, then your confidence and your contentment will increase. In verse 8, we see that when you put God at your right hand, you will have His help and encouragement. Now, the right hand was a position of honor. It was also a position of defense or protection. And so what David is saying is, when you give God the highest place of honor in your life and you look to Him for protection, when He is at your right hand, then you can be certain that you will not be shaken. In a sense, God is your own personal and powerful bodyguard. And He will defend you. And He will care for you as long as you take refuge in Him and put Him at your right hand. Give Him the highest place of honor in your life. And because you have your own personal bodyguard, you can then, as described here in verse 9, experience inner emotional contentment. And because you have your own personal bodyguard, you can also experience outer physical rest. Even in the midst of difficult times, Christians can experience emotional and physical contentment. God is a place of refuge for you, and your anxiety can be transformed into rejoicing. God is a place of refuge for welcomes us to live with Him forever. And then finally in verse 11, David concludes in a way somewhat similar to how he began the psalm. He says, "You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." David takes refuge in God. David is found in the presence of God, where there is joy and contentment. Whether here on earth or in life after death, God is present. And it is in His presence where you experience confidence and contentment. When a person takes refuge in God, when a person puts his or her trust in God, then God faithfully cares for that person. You can live each day of your life with confidence and with contentment as long as you take refuge in God, as long as you put yourself into his presence. This is what David did. Verse 1, for in you I take refuge. Verse 11, you fill me with joy in your presence. Towards the end of Charles Dickinson's Tale of Two Cities, which is the story of the French Revolution, there is a scene where a grim procession of prisoners makes its way on the streets of Paris to the guillotine. One brave prisoner, whose name was Sidney, is giving his life for his friend. He was not the guilty one, but he took the place of the guilty one. He is giving his life for his friend, and beside him, there is a young girl. They had met before in the prison, and the girl had noticed the man's gentleness and his courage. And as they are moving along the streets towards the place of execution, she says to him, "If I may ride with you, will you let me hold your hand? I am afraid, not greatly, but I am little and weak, and it will give me courage." And so they rode together, her hand in his. And when they reached the place of execution, there was no fear in her eyes, and she looked up into the quiet, composed face of her companion, and she said to him, "I think you were sent to me by heaven." Now, when you take refuge in God, when you put your hand in his hand, you can be filled with confidence and contentment no matter where you are headed. When you feel little or you feel weak, put your hand in his hand. When you need courage, put your hand in his hand. You need to take refuge in God, and you need to declare along with David, "I will not be shaken." If you put your hand in his hand, if you take refuge in God, if you put yourself into his presence, if you come to God, you can experience confidence and contentment. As the days and as the years pass, wherever you are and whatever you are doing, may you not be shaken. May this church family not be shaken. Take refuge in God. Trust God, obey God, love God, and experience confidence and contentment through God. Declare day after day, "I take refuge in you and I will not be shaken." And carry on. I now close and I bid you farewell with the words recorded in Genesis chapter 31, verse 49. May the Lord watch between you
and me when we are absent from one another. Let us pray. Dear God, our great God and Savior, whose everlasting love for all is trustworthy, help each of us to trust the future which rests in your care. Help us to live in confidence and contentment. The time that we were together in your name in this church saw laughter and tears, hopes and disappointments. Nevertheless, I express to you, O God, and to my church family, my sincere gratitude. Gratitude for the moments that we shared in worship, in learning, in service, and in Christian living. And I cling to these cherished memories. Our great God and Savior, guide us, encourage us, and strengthen us as we now move in new directions. Until that time to come when we are completely one with you and with each other. And in the name of Jesus Christ, this I pray. Amen. Would you please?